Oh, listen to this music. Did you write this?
No, I didn't write this.
Oh. Wow, that's catchy, man.
Yeah.
What's that from?
I wonder. It's from a, I don't know, it's from a show.
Drug Tales.
That's, I don't know who did it. Some guy on YouTube.
It sounds catchy.
He played all the parts on the bass guitar.
I wish we had him on a melodica.
I was having such a hard time finding something good that I thought, I'm just going to get
Jurassic Park.
I'm going to do the Jurassic Park one.
They do move in herds. We've said it on the show before, but if you have not seen it, go to YouTube and put the Jurassic Park on. What is that? Is it a melodica?
It's a melodica.
Melodica,
yeah.
Something like that? Jurassic Park theme. And make sure you read the description.
Yeah, read the description first.
It's genius. It's gold. Absolute gold.
It's gold, yeah.
Hey, everybody. We're back for another episode of Action Features. We skipped last week because we didn't realize that last week was the show until Thursday. We went, oh, man, we're just record tonight.
Time's creeping up.
And then we didn't have anything to do. So we were like, we'll just do it this week. And we still don't have anything to do. We still have nothing to do a show on.
But wouldn't you guys love a break from all of the crap going on?
Yeah, this is very true.
Let's take a break.
That's kind of one of the reasons why, even though we didn't have anything going, that I think we both felt we have to do an episode this week. Because maybe we don't have a ton of listeners, maybe we don't have a ton of people, but those few people that are, you know, that stick with it, and they listen to every episode.
The diehards.
It is nice to look forward to something that's different than everything else going on right now.
I was looking through, you know, I go through Yahoo trying to find topics or just all week on the internet, and there's nothing.
Unless you want to talk about something political, there's nothing else.
So, rough times.
Yeah, I found myself this week, we're not going to take a political stance on the show. I don't think you guys come here for that. There's enough of that out there, like we're saying. I had a tough time even looking at my Facebook feed or my Twitter feed or my Instagram feed this week, which a lot of times, I mean, I mostly just have like toy friends, family, that kind of stuff. But everybody looks for it as an opportunity to talk about this stuff or post something about this stuff. And I could finally find anything in there that was my usual, just like relaxed fun times. I have a real life, job, kids, and all this stuff, all these things. And so I look to those things sometimes as just a break, like where I can just see some other people talking about some fun stuff. And I couldn't find anybody talking about any fun stuff. It was kind of rough.
We're going to do it now.
All right, so
for Pete's sake,
we're going to talk a little bit about some things that are going on currently, and then there's sort of a top five / still talking about something currently that we'll push towards the end of the show, you think, right?
Yeah.
So let's talk about the other stuff first.
Yes.
And then we'll talk about the other thing.
Yes.
The top five tied to it, right?
Yes.
So there will be a top five. Stick around for it. Even though you probably already know what it is if you read the description of the episode.
Right.
Because I always tell what's happening in
the episode. By the time...
The description's... We tell everybody ahead of time. It's like spoilers. We just were like, hey,
you put everything
this is
in
what's
there,
this is what's happening in the episode. And then when we record the episode, we're thinking, it's gonna be a surprise. It's never a surprise.
It's not a surprise.
It's never a surprise. Okay, what do you got?
I have absolutely nothing. I have we're gonna do a letter to Mattel.
Okay.
And I have a theory. I have a theory about John Wick.
Oh, really? Now this I want to hear. Okay. Now is this spoilery?
No, it's not spoilery.
Okay, because if you haven't seen, some people may not have seen the John
Wicks. Yeah, you don't have to have seen it.
All right.
It won't ruin
it. Oh, you've told me this.
I told you a little bit.
You told me this. I still love it, though.
So I kind of mapped it out. I tried to, like, map
it out. Oh, that's great.
So John Wick, as you know, is a Keanu Reeves.
Keanu
Reeves film.
Keanu.
Where he's got, he's a hitman. He's a hitman, and he's trying to get out of it. So, very good. Very good for Keanu.
Mm-hmm.
But I have a theory about this character, and I think that essentially, basically...
It is true.
It is true, actually.
Yeah.
This has been confirmed that his real name is not John Wick.
That's a pseudonym.
That's an
alias.
That's an alias he's using.
Yeah, that's an AKA.
That's right.
Yeah.
Because who it actually is a man by the name of Ted Theodore Logan.
Ted Theodore Logan from the Bill and Ted films?
That's right. Used to be in a band called the Wild Stallions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What happened to him that he would turn into John Wick?
Well, things didn't go quite as well for him, even after he aced the report.
Yeah.
he did wind up going to Oates Military Academy.
Oh, that's bogus.
It was bogus.
That's like a bogus journey.
Yeah. He took a bonus journey.
He took a bonus journey.
To the military
and a bogus journey.
When he gets out of the military academy, he does not indeed go into the military. It's just a military school. You don't have to go. He didn't go to the military, but he did decide to go to a police academy after that.
Okay.
And he joined the police force.
Yeah.
In which,
oh, you expanded on this.
In which one of his rookie assignments was...
Sky surfing?
That's right. Taking down... He took down a band of... He took down a band of...
Whoa.
Surfers.
As who he were, would say.
Yeah. Whoa. 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 Whoa.
Yeah. It wasn't one of his other assignments
as a
police officer. I think I've heard what the next assignment was.
So he busts this group who's robbing banks dressed as the dead presidents, ex-presidents. After that, he stays in California, where all this took place, and he had an incident on a bus.
Didn't they have some kind of bus thing where it was a bomb on a bus and he stopped it?
He moved up to the FBI.
Kept driving it.
Moved up to the FBI, had an incident with the bus.
Yeah.
And...
Whoa.
Whoa.
Whoa. Whoa.
Yeah. And so he saved them.
No way!
Yeah.
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 He saved the day there, but it was a little bit much. And the pay, honestly, that you're getting in that job.
No good. Plus, you know, I kind of felt like at the end, he really wanted to kind of take the law into his own hands.
Tired of dealing with the bureaucrats.
Those kind of guys are able to do those things. And he's just a cop. He's got to kind of abide by cop rules.
Yeah.
So
he did get a taste for
some retribution, though. Exactly. He got a taste for dealing out justice or dealing out, you know, the final answer to people.
So he retires from the FBI and goes into business for himself.
Yeah.
As a hitman. But to protect those around him and himself, he used the alias John Wick.
I get it.
And somewhere in there, he had a dream involving, alien robots taken over.
He had a Johnny Mnemonic. So
John Wick is actually
Ted Theodore Brogan.
Ted Theodore Logan from Bill and Ted. And after his hitman stuff is over with, he might decide he needs the therapy of music. It'll go back to getting together with Bill S. Preston Esquire, form the Wild Stallions, and the future is saved.
Yeah. There's just two divergent timelines here.
That's all.
That's all. That's all.
That's all. That's my theory.
Good theory. I'll subscribe to it.
Speed is a pretty good movie.
Speed is good. I've been wanting to rewatch Speed lately.
I have too. I see it all this time at the store and I just haven't picked it up.
But I haven't seen it since it was
it's available.
The first couple of years it was out, I would watch it, you know, every once in a while, but I haven't seen it since then. I need to pick up a copy of that. If you don't, I will.
I think it's pretty good. We'll have to do it.
Yeah. All right. What you got there?
Well, my mom sent these. You know how she does. You know she likes.
I know she loves to send a snack. Thanks, Mike's mom.
These are chips. They're Buck Wild.
Buck Wild.
Buck Wild. Jalapeno Jack tortilla chips.
Let's try those out, man.
No artificial flavors. Buck Wild.
It's Buck Wild.
Smell good. I already know exactly what this tastes like.
Yeah. Good.
Those are good.
Those are real good.
Okay.
Buck Wild. There's the heat.
Those are getting Buck Wild.
There's the heat, man.
Yeah.
Who's the maker of these?
Buck Wild.
I mean, there's no a lot of
I don't know.
Frito-Lay.
Right.
Hidden somewhere on here.
I don't know. I did not inspect it.
I don't see anything. Man, those are good.
That's a chip unto its own.
That's a tasty chip, man.
Looks like a guy on the back of the bag is screaming.
He's gone Buck Wild.
Who's this guy? Oh, yeah, he's screaming in pain, it looks like.
Ah, these chips! Ah!
Too hot!
It's not really good advertising to do that.
No.
The front has a buck on it. Sunglasses.
He's wearing shades, yeah.
And he's got like a tree of antlers. It's very odd, these designs.
It's Buck Wild, man.
That's gone Buck Wild.
All right.
Those are good.
All right.
That's a good pick, man. That's some of the best.
This is one of the better.
Yeah.
So there we go. That's
just the right amount of heat.
That's our snack for the show.
Okay. I want to talk about a couple things you got.
No.
I've been watching Buck Rogers in the 25th Century.
Buck Wild.
It's great. I've seen episodes over the years. You know, as a kid, I watched it. But Matt's let me borrow his DVD set. I'm kind of watching them all in order. Man, that's a fun show. But it reminds me how much shows suck now.
Yeah.
Like, every episode of the show is fun. And it's got a fun story. And it's got pretty quality effects. And you can just watch one episode and enjoy one episode. And not feel like you're in one piece of a giant season or something where you got to watch them all.
Yeah.
Enjoyable, fun characters, not too heavy with plots and you know, drama.
It's you can just watch one and
enjoyable much characters and enjoyable show. Mm-hmm. No shows like that anymore.
Different scenario each time.
Yeah. Different adventure.
That's something that I notice a lot about those older adventure shows. Mm-hmm. Each time you got a different setting, a different environment, yeah. even if you had similar themes, it was still and that's kind of gone. Everything is totally like, it was just same as comics and everything. Yep. Everything is this long,
it's drawn gotta out, be this long, long, it's yeah. gotta stick with it for all 13 episodes to understand any of it, yeah. or 26 episodes, or the entire 18 comic crossover. But this show, the original Star Trek, the Planet of the Apes TV series, all those shows from that 60s and 70s era, even into the early 80s.
Star Trails.
You could just watch one and just have fun with the show. And nice heroic characters that, mm-hmm. as I'm watching, I'm like, man, Keaton would really enjoy watching this. Because there's just nice, just archetypal hero characters that yeah. you could just identify. Like, that's a hero. And he's doing heroic things. And he gets the girl.
He's doing the right thing.
It's a fun show, though, man. If you've never checked out Buck Rogers in the 25th Century, totally watch that. It's so much fun.
I've seen Duck Dodgers in the 20.
It's the same.
20.
Buck Rogers is based on that.
25th and a half.
Yeah. Duck Dodgers is the original.
Yeah. Duck mm-hmm. Dodgers is the original. Yeah. Speaking of good things to watch, Blaze, don't forget about Super 8. I told your dad about it a little bit ago.
I forgot about it. I think I mentioned it to him in the car too. The movie we need to get, but I have to buy it still.
It's at Walmart for cheap. I'll go to Walmart. With a cool new cover.
I'll go to Walmart and get it. I rewatched Stranger Things. I don't know if I mentioned that in the last episode or not, but I rewatched that again. Man, it's so good. Yeah. So if that's kind of the same vein, it seems like it is, then
I think, it seems like a similar
thing. I got to get it. I'm going to buy it.
All right.
Some toy stuff.
What do you have?
Toy thing here. Those Vitruvian hacks that you sent me pictures of.
Fantastic.
Those are so cool, man. Those and that zombie line that was on the same page. Yeah. Toy Arc. Had the, both of those two things linked. Man, those are so nice.
I'm glad to see they're having some success because a lot of stuff they showed just recently, that I was hoping they would get to. So they have a whole medieval line now with at least two different kind of knights with different armors and stuff. I'm sure there'll be accessory packs that come with those.
Yeah.
And they show the gladiators and a horse
is so cool,
which is fantastic. I might get that just to have a nice reference that I can model around.
Well, a horse is just so useful for anything at that scale. Like those dime store legends or whatever they were called. Yeah. Dime novel legends.
Yeah.
I think it was dime store legends. I can't remember. Dime novel. I don't know.
I think it was dime novel,
but the Western line. That's G.I. Joe size. That horse is great for those guys.
Your Indiana Jones.
Your
G.I. Joes.
Yeah. I like those space ones that they had the art for those hacks, like the space pilot and the rocket pack and the alien guy. Those are really neat.
Yeah, generic sci-fi team. It really feels cool.
I mean, as much as we've kind of talked about, sometimes it's tough with these Kickstarters and the big pre-orders where it's like, you got to get all these different things. It really feels like that's where everything's going that we like.
Yeah.
You know, the Power Lords line, I've picked up a few of those lately. They're great. I was kind of late to the game to pick up some of them, but they've got a pre-order coming up on those in September to do the next wave of them. And that's how they're going to make them is get an X amount of pre-orders and then the line gets made.
Yeah.
But in order to get kind of the things we want nowadays, stores aren't interested. Toy companies aren't interested in doing it. So you almost have to pony up and go, okay, I'm willing to be in for this much.
I think you have to pick, you know, a couple things that really resonate with you and go for it. And that's, you know, that's got to be it.
Are you going to get some of those? I know you got some of the
I did get.
You got a couple of the boss fight.
I got one. Yeah. I got one of the.
I had two.
I got one of the soldiers, and I got two blank bodies, and I got one of the skeletons.
That's what it was.
And once again, those are somewhat useful for artistic purposes, and that's probably what it's going to be limited to. Like I said, I might get the horse for that reason. I want the other things, but they're approaching $20 a piece for those.
That part's hard.
I just have other things to buy. Like, yeah. You know, so I probably won't, but I support them. I'm very happy that they're doing that and going that route.
Yeah.
It's just, you know,
I'm trying to weigh it out more. I mean, we both talked about this and we've said, you know, $20 is a lot to ask for a 3 3/4 figure on some of these Kickstarters. But I look at a lot of the stuff in the stores that are $20 nowadays.
Yeah.
Some of them are just kind of garbage compared to,
yeah,
like you look at a lot of them at stuff Mattel is doing in their multiverse line. A lot of those figures are just really bad.
Yeah. And especially if you don't want it.
Yeah.
I mean, really, now the one of those gladiators, I might. Cause it is sort of worth it. Sometimes if you can just say, I would like to have a representation of a gladiator.
Yeah.
On my shelf or whatever. $20, okay, one-time thing, done. I can't go in all in on these lines. I can't get every single thing that I just think is cool. You know what I mean? It's like, how, you know, I don't know.
You got to draw a line somewhere.
Got to draw a line somewhere, and the knights look fantastic, but they're a little bit more fantasy.
Yeah.
And if they were more realistic, like this is a historic knight, I might be inclined to do it. But
yeah.
So I don't know. Not totally against it, but there are times I think to pony up some cash.
Yeah.
If I was really into Bucky O'Hare,
are great.
$35 for a Bucky probably would not be a big deal to me.
It's also involved in how much you buy and how many toy lines you collect and how, you know, how much disposable income you can put towards those things. If Bucky O'Hare was the only thing I was interested in, and it was the only thing I was buying for the next couple months, I would pony up the $35 a piece because they look like really high quality figures.
If they do a Cadillacs and Dinosaurs figure, I'm paying $35 a piece.
Yeah, you're paying $35 for that. Yeah, because you're invested in it. And that may be one of the reasons why the price is set at that point, because how many Bucky O'Hare fans really are there to go around?
And I don't know what they had to do to get the license.
They had to pay something to get it. So in that regard, you have to weigh out how many fans do we have that are willing to pay and how many do we need to buy this figure to be able to make it justifiable to make it and still make a profit.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to be a little more forgiving of those higher price points on that kind of stuff and really look at it like, okay, how good is the figure in comparison to what I'm finding at retail for close to the same price?
I don't think,
ignoring scale, just how good is it?
Yeah. I don't think those smaller companies have greed.
I don't either.
On their mind at all.
They just want to make stuff.
I think,
like, I mean, we've talked to Bill Murphy a couple times now, and he's, you know, you could tell he genuinely just wants to get this stuff made.
Yeah.
He really just wants to get it made. And I think a lot of these guys that have those Kickstarters, I know that the Four Horsemen, like the Power Lords, is a labor of love for them. Like Eric Treadaway, the Horseman, he loves Power Lords and just really wants to make the line happen in the best way they can. So I'm more interested in giving those kind of people the money than Hasbro and Mattel, who are there as a business. They just look at things in a way to make a cheap buck. A lot of times.
Yeah.
So, all right. Another thing I saw, not toy related, was Ron Howard has been doing little tweets and stuff from Han Solo, I guess to get people hyped up again, even though a lot of people's hype has died. He posted a picture of an Imperial helmet and some gloves on a control thing. And so that implies that the Empire is somehow involved in the Han Solo movie, which I think we all kind of assumed.
Yeah.
That the Empire would have some part in the Han Solo movie because the Empire exists. He's a smuggler. He's going to have a run-in with the Empire at some point. I can't get excited about the Han Solo movie.
It's hard to.
It's really hard to get excited about the Han Solo movie.
That's it. You know, I saw a video. I saw a video today where this guy was talking about the shelf fatigue of Star Wars toys and how they're not. And he. Part of his explanation, he thought that it was because the toys were crap and some of the stuff coming out is not very good, but I don't think that's it. I think people are really just, you know, getting hammered by it. We've talked about it on here before. Yeah. It's just, it's fatigue. You can't have every day of the year, every year for the next 8 years or whatever, be Star Wars Day. I know there's big fans, and you know how we're big fans of most of the movies in the series, and it's just a lot. And Disney is really pushing that. And when it comes to them, it doesn't seem to me like this is something I want to do it's like when George Lucas was, doing the movies, even though I hate the prequels, it's the original movies.
Yeah.
He was doing them, even though he was making money or trying to make money. He definitely was making money by Empire.
Yeah.
Off the toy stuff. But it still was something that was in him that came, and now Disney just owns it as a property. And they're just, we paid a bunch of money for this, and we're going to
make as many as we can. We're just going to make it Marvel, basically.
Right. Just
and crank out as many as we can.
And I think that shows, and I'm not saying I didn't enjoy Force Awakens, because I did.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I'll enjoy the next movie or not, but what it feels like is not really genuine and not a special thing, because we've had it for 30 years being just those three movies.
I agree. It took a long time for Lucas to get to the point where he wanted to do the prequels and wanted to tell more stories. I mean, we were, 15 years, 16 years between Return of the Jedi and Episode One. And that was only after they did the special editions. It kind of got him back in the mood to do more stories and finish off the story. And now it really does feel like they're just looking for avenues to tell more stories. Like, it's not organically happening. It's not finishing off a story or telling the rest of a story. It's what can we look at? What can we make a movie out of? Now, that just today I heard that Obi-Wan Kenobi movie is almost definite now. They've already talked to a director, and it looks like it's moving forward.
All this happening without seeing how the Han Solo movie does.
It's just like when they announce the sequel to a movie before a movie's already even hit.
Right.
You know every one of them is going to be a hit. This is going to make a ton of money. Let's get the next one rolling. Whereas with the original trilogy, especially, it was a gamble every time with George's money to see if they were going to get to the next one. Like when he told Kirshner, taking over the directorial duties, it was, you got a lot on your shoulders here, because we'd like to do another one, but we don't do another one if this one fails.
Right.
This is it. So if this one comes out and it doesn't work, then it's over.
Right.
Whereas this, they've put out two, and they've already got so many more on the drawing board that are happening, that it is disappointing that it's become less of a storytelling endeavor and more of a, how much money can we make each year? We need a Star Wars movie every single year. We need it every year. Well, we don't really need a Star Wars movie every single year.
We don't. And the fact is that these movies are, at least the next few, I would say, are going to make money, because there are diehard fans out there.
Yeah.
And depending on what the, the climate is and what the, what else is coming out, what the competition is at the time, they might do better or worse based on those things. But I was concerned about Star Wars fatigue when they first announced all these movies. And now I'm seeing that I'm not the only one concerned about it. I'm not the only one that's feeling it. And yeah, so for whatever, if somebody wants that Han Solo movie, that's good, 'cause you're going to get it. I personally am okay with just the stories as are. And the thing about before was, like, you would write a novel. They would write a novel about another Han Solo adventure or something.
Yeah, we wouldn't need a movie to do it.
And that was okay, because it was like a different thing. And now if you're going to put all these things into movie, it suddenly becomes official canon somehow.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, this is not just a fun little side note. This is, I don't know. That's in my head. It's hard to, those things are separate. Like,
well, getting back to what you were talking about to begin this with, was that Star Wars, the toy line experience. And I agree with you that it's been running so long, and Star Wars, the movies, aren't a big event or something special anymore when you're doing them every single year. They're just not. I mean, you're going to be relegating it to the point where it's a Transformers movie toy line or a DC superhero movie or a Marvel movie, whereas, they're not huge events when Marvel has a new movie, like Spider-Man Homecoming, you get one wave of figures and a couple things, and it's gone in a month or two. And then they're on to the next Marvel movie. And that's what Star Wars is going to kind of turn into, where it's not going to be this giant event with tons and tons of product that you can come up with for the movie. It's going to have to be more modest.
They'll do the
product to keep going.
They'll make the product, but
it's not going to sell though.
Yeah. I'd be concerned that stores are going to start saying,
that's the mindset they need to be in though.
We're still sitting on Rogue One.
We're still sitting on Force Awakens stuff. Right. And it's so poorly done, especially when it comes to the figures. Distribution is horrendous.
Yeah, you got to make do.
Where it was for months, all you saw was the first wave of Force Awakens, and you couldn't find anything else. Up until the point where it was almost the next Force Friday, and the stuff from the original Force Friday was still on the shelves. You can still find Force Awakens figures in stores. Yeah. And it's way past the point where you should have Force Awakens figures. Star Wars needs to be an evergreen line, where it has all the movies wrapped up in a toy line. And that way you've got nice diversity and not so much tied into each movie, because it doesn't work like that. That's not how it's going to work, that you're going to be able to float a year of product on Force Awakens and then float a year of product on Rogue One and just never address the other toys, the other movies. That's why Star Wars as a toy line has existed since the modern toy line since 1995, because they mined the other films. They didn't just... Like when Attack of the Clones came out, they didn't just have Attack of the Clones figures for an entire, up until the next movie came out. It was here's Attack of the Clones in these first few waves, and now here's stuff from the other movies to mix into it. And I think that they lost that.
Yeah.
Like in the last couple of years, other than some Black Series stuff, which is few and far between, I don't think that the 3 3/4 line had anything from the other movies. Right. It was all just this movie.
Right.
Just this movie. Here's just this movie. And that's one of the reasons I think that people did not embrace it. That they didn't want just that movie for an entire year. Right. They wanted the classic stuff too. And that's where you lost a lot of guys that've been with it for so long. It's because they're buying stuff from the other movies still. So you can't treat it like mega event movie. The entire toy line's based on this movie and expect it to stay on a shelf for an entire year of product. And it's an insane amount of the aisle too.
Yeah.
Amount on the aisle. Like Target's almost an entire aisle. It's nothing but Star Wars. Right. We haven't had a movie since Rogue One, and that was December of last year.
A lot of stuff is clearance.
And
it's still sitting there.
What can you do? You got anything else? Cause I have one more thing.
I've got the letter to Mattel. That's my only thing before.
Let me say this thing and then you'll do the letter to Mattel.
All right.
Big announcement yesterday about the return of Wizard Magazine.
Whoa.
Which I got really excited about when I kept seeing the article, like Wizard Magazine returns. It's like, oh, that's cool. I'd love to buy Wizard again.
That's cool.
It's a digital only.
Not cool.
I don't want a digital magazine.
That's what they said
when Wizard went under, that they were going to be a digital magazine.
Okay.
I don't remember anybody ever talking about it after that.
Right.
And now they're making this big announcement where Wizard's now going to be a digital magazine. I'm like, didn't they already do that at some point and nobody cared? Maybe I don't care. I don't want a digital magazine.
Maybe the internet wasn't as well established at that point, and so they said, "Oh, it's not lucrative." And now, I know I'm an old fuddy-duddy, so maybe I'm out of the loop, and maybe some of our listeners can chime in and tell me whether or not they partake in digital media as such. Because to me, flipping through a magazine on my iPad, which I don't have, but on my phone or my iPad or whatever on a screen wouldn't mean anything to me because I have the internet at that point and I can just
go online.
I can just look at whatever I want to online.
Especially that media. I mean, I know people argue for the comics being digital.
Yeah.
And
I could see for travel or something, like if you have all your comic books put in there.
And that's a visual medium where it's the art, it can't just be... I can't go anywhere and just see that art online. See somebody drawing that art and telling that story and those kind of things. It's a completely different thing than just text on a screen.
Yeah.
Text on a screen. You can go text on a screen anywhere. I don't need to buy a digital download or digital magazine to find text on a screen. I can go to any website and see text on a screen. I want a physical copy to read. I want to be able to take it with me and I want to be able to have it in the car while I'm just waiting for the kids or something to be able to read it.
Yeah.
It's kind of the same thing in that regard for the comic books. And I do like to have a physical copy, but I can see the argument more for a digital comic than I can a digital magazine. A digital magazine is just a website. That's just a website at that point.
Right. You have a website.
I just go to a website.
You have a website.
I can go to Toy News Eye. I can go to Toy Arc. I can go to Bleeding Cool or Newsarama. I can go to any of those places and get up-to-date current information.
You can read articles.
Yeah.
As much as you want for free.
But I would love a physical copy of one of those things.
Because it's a different experience.
It's a different experience to have it and take it and share it with a friend, bring it to your desk and go, hey, check out this article.
You can look at it later without having to go back to
and trying to find the web address and all that stuff.
I feel like really when you pay for something, then you can have something.
Yeah.
And once again, why would I pay to read your articles when I can read everybody else's articles for free in that medium?
Yeah.
I wouldn't expect to pick up a magazine for free. Because then I take something with me. That's the nature of the beast. And good,
I guess, because costs. I mean, it's good that they're coming back and they're doing something. It doesn't interest me until it's actually print. But it is neat to hear that Wizards making a return at least. You know,
why not?
Maybe it'll be successful enough that they'll maybe look at print again.
Check out the Action Features online magazine only. Yeah, we have a digital magazine. It's
digital magazine. It's actionfeatures.net. You find it there.
You can check it out.
Let's check it out.
Let's check it out.
All right. You got a letter to Mattel, and then we'll move on to the meat and potatoes of the episode.
To Mattel. You know what really gets my goat? Your toy company. It's like you guys have a gold mine right up your noses, and you won't do anything about it. You've probably only made like 3 toys this year alone, and I'm about fed up with feeding you spoon-fed ideas.
Feeding you spoon-fed.
That could skyrocket your careers in the toy industry and really put you on the map. However, 1, Smile Ore. Paternia's number 1 jokester and keeps the spirits up around Grayskull Palace. 2, Dyslex Ore. Has the ability to see everything in reverse, plus is left-handed to make up for that. Can fit weapons into left hand and only 1 or 2 weapons fit in right hand. 3, Diamond Man. Classy informant on Eternia. 4, New Man. I'm running out of ideas here, but the name is catchy, and I have an idea for how King Adam, Randor has died at this point, is very jealous of New Man's popularity in the castle, and there is a life lesson on the cartoon. I'm pretty sure you could get a movie deal based off of these toys. I don't have any money to pay you now, but I will when I get rich from the movie deal.
Hey, that's a good promise to make.
I'm wheeling and dealing, man.
Wheeling and dealing, man. You gotta do what you can.
Trying to get Mattel to listen up.
Okay. So now the meat and potato of the episode. DuckTales premiered on Disney XD on Saturday. The reboot of the classic 80s series. Late 80s into the 90s. I wonder when it ran. I think it was, what, it premiered in 1987, I think
Yeah, I think something like it was late 80s.
Hang on one second. I gotta send this text to Bobby.
In Duckburg, race cars, lasers, airplanes.
So, it's a reboot.
Duckburg.
It's a reboot. But, so we both watched it. I watched it Saturday with the kids. And you just watched it today. You can watch it online. It's on abc.com. I don't know the exact web address, but the first episode is online. It's basically, it feels like 2 episodes into one.
It's a long, it's
like 45 minutes or something.
Almost an hour.
It's got a lot of celebrity voices, but I don't think obnoxiously so.
Yeah,
I didn't the animation style is different than what came before, but I still don't. I like it. It's looks like traditional. You know, it's probably done in a computer. It looks like 2D animation.
It looks a little bit more like cell animation
than a lot of stuff we've seen lately. Yeah. The character designs are pretty close for the most part to what they were before. The theme song is the same, although it's done by a new singer and new, you know. Musical group.
A new group.
It's the same as it was before. And the premises and the character traits, like how the characters act, are pretty close to what they were before. I felt, as a reboot, it was successful.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. I had a good time watching it. I think it did what a reboot should do, in that you're trying to capture what the old one has. And when a person watches it, instead of comparing it and thinking how it's, well, this just isn't as good as the old one. I'm just reminded of how good the old one is, but I'm still enjoying what I'm watching.
Mm-hmm.
I felt good watching it. Like I remembered how good I felt as a kid watching DuckTales and enjoying it so much. And I had fun watching the kids watch it. Because I think only Blaze really watched the original one. I showed him some DVDs, the original one. But I don't think Keaton and Gracie did, but they all enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed it. And I'm looking forward to seeing more of the series. Like, I really had a good time watching it. What did you think of it? Did you?
I liked it. I think once the animation, I was a tad, well, I'd seen things before, so I wasn't worried, but I know some people don't mind the Clone Wars type animation, which Disney's doing a lot of. Mm-hmm. I have a hard time with it. It's just, it doesn't seem warm to me. And this did feel more like cell animation, even though some things were computerized and it was probably done in the computer. Mm-hmm. But it was pretty close, and I had no real issues with it. It was fun. I love seeing an adventure cartoon.
Me too.
Back and having, you know, they're going to look for the lost city of Atlantis and who knows what else. So that's great to me that's going on. I love artifacts and things, you know, things of that nature. Close to the beginning, Scrooge he's wearing like an old diver suit or something.
That was really
like those old things that I just like to see. That's why I like to see an adventure. And if you replace all of those things with, here's a cell phone and here's a mall, we're going to Chicago again and whatever, it's not really that interesting. But so this has all those old things that I loved about the old cartoon.
I'm glad you brought that up, because I really liked the bare bones approach to all this stuff. Like, it wasn't, here's a bunch of high tech stuff they've got now, and it's DuckTales for the new age. I mean, there were cell phones.
They had cell phones in it, but it wasn't.
But it was an old looking sub, and it was an old looking plane, and it was an old looking diving suit, and it wasn't modernized.
Right.
And nothing was overly high techy.
Right. It felt like
get the computer and figure it out, you know, or something like that. That felt really good. And I hope they stay away from that for the whole series.
Yeah.
That they're not, you know, let's get on the internet and find out about this.
Right.
You know, let's check the app on our phones.
Right.
They have to put cell phones in there at this point, because kids
know about
cell phones.
Yeah, they're,
if you're going to call home to somebody, you're not going to get on a payphone. You're going to use a cell phone.
Right.
But it wasn't obnoxiously so.
Yeah, I didn't think it was pushed or over the top or anything like that. It felt pretty natural. I'm drawing a blank here.
I also like how the characters kind of stayed true to what they were before.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't, I was kind of worried that we would see Uncle Scrooge as the old fuddy-duddy that that's too old to do anything and that the boys have to do it for him, or, you know, and, where the centralized character becomes just a not centralized character anymore, where you have to embrace the new generation. But he wasn't. He was the adventurer, and he was the one they looked up to, and he was the one that was doing the stuff.
Yeah.
And they were there, and they were wanting to do the adventure with him, but he wasn't slighted in the least in the show, which I really, really liked.
Yeah.
And that Launchpad was still Launchpad. He still is crashing and not smart and... where they didn't try to cool things up, which is what I think a lot of modern things try to do. Like, well, we're going to make this character even cooler.
Everybody's cool.
You like him there? He's going to be cool now.
Check out how cool.
He's going to be really cool
now.
You
ever seen somebody cool?
Now you'll think he's cool.
Yeah.
The one character that was probably changed the most was Webigale.
Yeah. She just seems older.
She did seem older, and she was my least favorite character on the old show. Her being so young and kind of being the baby character sometimes got a little annoying for me watching the old show. And in this one, she's more interested and excited about the adventure like the boys are. And she's kind of a hero worship kind of deal going on. But she's still awkward, and she doesn't fit in well yet with the rest of the cast of characters. She doesn't really know how to act because she's at that place all the time. She's just at home all the time. So she doesn't know how to interact. And I thought those are interesting changes for her character to make her more than just a baby. But I didn't feel like they pushed her to the point where it was like, the boys can't do anything, Webby's going to do it all. She still made mistakes and errors. And the boys still wanted to go, especially as the show went on, the boys still wanted to go on an adventure. I thought it was equal between all the characters. And that was, as a father of both sons and a daughter, I enjoyed that, because now it wasn't just the son characters going on the adventure and Webby's there as a baby character. Now there's the girl character and the boy character, and they're all doing a thing. They're all wanting to go on the adventure. They're all playing a part in it. So I liked that change.
Yeah.
That was the most major change I could see in the show.
As far as a reboot, I know it's technically a reboot. It doesn't bother me. And I was trying to think of this earlier, why with some films, with some movies, when they do a reboot, I think, God, don't, why? We don't need to, you don't need to do this. But with DuckTales, it's like, it's just a series of, you know, half hour episodes, whatever they're going to be. And even though the first episode introduces the characters,
I like where you're going here.
All after this, it's just a continuation of the series. It's like the Johnny Quest. They did the Real Adventures of Johnny Quest in the 90s, and they had a 80s series also. I mean, those were technically, or at least the 90s one was technically a reboot. It was the Real Adventures. And I can't remember, but I'm sure the first episode kind of reintroduces the characters, but after that, it's just, these are just more adventures of Johnny Quest. It's not like...
Yeah, you hadn't, they didn't alter it to the point where it's unrecognizable as a continuation of the old thing.
Right.
I totally agree. Where
you're not trying to redo something or reinterpret somebody's grand vision. I feel like when they remade Psycho, it's like, what are you going to do? You're going to top out for Hitchcock?
You got to put your own spin on it. You don't have to put your own spin on it. Try and just, this worked, so just do that.
Yeah.
And that's how I feel like they did with this. They knew what worked. They knew where to play it and how to make it work again, because it's already worked. It was great.
Yeah.
So I'm in complete agreement that you have to have the introductory episode. You have to. True. To get everybody in their places, and kids that haven't ever watched DuckTales before, here's a spot for you. But even if you just watched like that second half, you could just treat that as continuation of the old show.
Yeah,
like
it doesn't interfere at all.
All the beats are there. All the characters are there. Everything that was before, it's still working again. The money bin's there. Mrs. Beagley's there. Everything's there.
Yeah.
I also really liked that they had a lot of Easter eggs for the old shows that were kind of mixed into the show, because it shows that they really are, you know, treating that as a legacy. And it wasn't just random stuff in a background to just like, here it is, there it is. It's showing that all these adventures happened, and they addressed those pieces as they went through. Yeah, they happened differently because the show had the characters all together at that point, but it really felt that they honored a legacy that had come before in their Easter eggs, and it wasn't just stupid things that were thrown in, like the Clash of the Titans.
That's
the perfect example of how not to do an Easter egg.
Yeah.
And I also like that it's already laying the groundwork to maybe bring some of the other series back into it. Like they mentioned St. Canard, which is where Darkwing Duck is from. They mentioned the place that Tailspin takes place at. They mentioned the place where they think the gummy bears take place at. And they've already said, I think, that Darkwing will appear on the show at some point.
Okay. Might as well cross over there.
I mean, maybe it'll lead to something else. Like if this becomes something good, we could see the return of maybe like a Disney Afternoon block, which would make me so happy because I enjoyed the Disney Afternoon so much as a kid growing up. And I don't think we have anything close to that nowadays. To see like a little Disney universe again of shows that are action adventure, enjoyable, fun shows for kids to get behind would be great.
Yeah.
So speaking of that, we decided to, unless there's anything else you want to mention.
I think that covers it.
We thought it would be fun to do our top five Disney Afternoon cartoons, which I think number one is going to be pretty easy to know what we're going to lead up to, but getting to there will be the interesting part.
This was really easy for me.
It was pretty easy for me, too.
Until I realized there were six that I think of.
I thought,
well, there's only going to be five. There's only five, and I just have to put them in order.
There was one that was tough for me to go back and forth on. And I'm even debating if I'm going to say one or the other as I say this.
Me too.
So, you want to go first?
I'll go first.
I'm writing down what my final answer is right now. I am changing it to what I had before.
Yeah, I'll go first. And I was trying to decide. I basically wound up deciding because of how I felt in my childhood and not my hindsight now.
Looking back.
So number five for me is Gummy Bears.
See, I went back and forth between it and Goof Troop. Was that what you went back and forth
Goof
between?
Goof Troop is not on my list, I'll tell you.
Well, I went back and forth between that and Goof Troop. And I ended up writing Goof Troop just because I think I watched it more than I watched Gummy Bears. I did like Gummy Bears, but for me, I guess it came at a time where DuckTales was just so much more enjoyable. So yeah. I didn't really it felt kind of like the appetizer just to get it over with. Yeah. Cause I think it came on before.
I think it did.
Gummy bears.
And
did.
I think something else that's going to come into play here is the time of day.
Yeah.
That these things came on, because we didn't have TiVos and all that. I mean, if your mom wasn't setting the VCR to record certain things, mm-hmm. you either saw it or you didn't see it.
I will say this. I'm looking online now at the Wikipedia entry for Disney Afternoon. They count gargoyles.
Okay.
I did not.
Okay. Cause that was one that I was like, oh man, I can't remember. That's not on. Okay. So that's,
I didn't count that.
That's not on mine then.
I could, I mean, cause I don't really think of that.
That was a new,
it was a totally different thing. Yeah, it didn't involve the previous Disney characters. It didn't have the same vibe as any of the other shows. It was dark.
It was
and
a
serious.
Turning point. That was after Batman, the animated series came on, and that changed everything for everybody.
If that was included, then my whole list it's got to change, because that was great. It would be probably my number two. But we're not including gargoyles because we don't feel like it's the same vibe as the rest of the Disney Afternoon cartoons. Okay.
Yep. So you're number five.
Was there anything else you wanted to say on
gummy bears? It's just, it had castles and it had some swords, and it just happened to be on at a time that I was sitting in front of the TV. So I watched a lot of gummy bears for some reason.
I would have bought gummy bears figures.
I would have too.
They had those little cereal premiums.
Yes.
But same with DuckTales, the little cereal premiums is all you could get.
I got the cereal premiums. And
Rescue Rangers. The cereal premiums is all you could get. I had all the Rescue Ranger ones.
And the Burger King. I think Burger King had the Rescue Rangers toys.
I think you're right. I think maybe
they all had. They all came with a vehicle, which was.
I think it was McDonald's.
Okay.
Maybe it was McDonald's.
They were
same with Tailspin.
They were stuck on the vehicle, so you didn't actually get the figures. But that's all you had was
Tailspin and Darkwing actually got figure lines.
Yes,
but DuckTales was, I think, the one everybody wanted a figure line for.
Yeah.
So it was weird to have I had the cereal premiums. That's all you had.
That's all you had.
You had to make do.
You had to make do.
Make doing back then. So I put Goof Troop on there.
Okay.
And it was really just a matter of the time the show came out and what else was on. I liked the goofy character and, you know, the interactions with Max and all that stuff. It was okay. It was okay.
I never cared for any of that except a goofy movie. I used to watch a goofy movie.
You loved a goofy movie.
I loved a goofy movie.
You loved it.
It had Pauly Shore in it.
It's definitely the least favorite of the bunch for me. Yeah. And it was a real toss-up between it and Gummy Bears. Yeah. Gummy Bears is probably the better show.
You had to bump it.
I had to bump it.
If you watched it more, you had to bump it.
I watched Goof Troop more.
All right. This might come as a surprise, but my number four is Darkwing Duck.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is a surprise to me.
Yeah. It is to me, too.
Yeah.
Because, and here's why. And here's why.
Let's hear why. Can I hear why?
You can hear it if you like, but nobody else. Darkwing Duck was coming out. I was so excited for it because of Batman fan, and it's dark. It was fun. It was cool. For some reason, I don't know when it was on. I have hardly any recollection of actually sitting down and watching the TV show.
Well, that's kind of the reason the Gummy Bears got bumped for me, is I really just didn't watch it that much.
I wanted to like it. I wanted the figures. Playmates made those figures, and they were kind of expensive, if I remember correctly.
I think maybe they were $5 or $6. Maybe.
I remember not being able.
You couldn't find the Darkwing.
Yeah.
Like it was very, at least from what I remember, it was really tough to find him. You would find, you know, the other characters, but you would not find the Darkwing himself, and you've got to get Darkwing if you're going to buy the line.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So for whatever reason, I just did not catch it enough for it to sink its teeth into me. I love the character design. It seems like, you know, a neat premise. I don't know. It just didn't stick, and you have some pretty tough competition here. So,
well, that's interesting to me. I did not make that my number four. My number four was Tailspin.
Oh, really?
I really enjoy Tailspin.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of the other three I like better. Tailspin is a great show. Jungle Book is my favorite Disney movie.
Okay.
And I really like the characters. I like the adventure. I like the pilot thing. I like everything about it. It's just a matter of these top four are very, very enjoyable shows. Kit Cloud Kicker was awesome. That sky sled thing he had.
I wanted that figure so bad, and I don't know why I never got it.
Yeah, that's a cool. Those are all, you know, Playmates did a great job of both those lines, because you got the Sea Duck and all those characters, and I think there was even a bad guy like Biplane.
Yes,
for that line.
Yeah, he had it.
And then there was for Darkwing. There was Darkwing's his plane and his motorcycle, and all a bunch of bad guys. There was even going to be a second series, but none of those got produced. Those were good figures. Yeah. Those were really not,
they
well
were,
done.
They were solid.
But yeah, Tailspin, solid show, solid premise, cool characters. It's just a matter of having to pick one to bump down.
Had to pick one.
What's your number three?
Ch-ch-ch-ch-bandit.
That's also my number three. Real good.
That was the first to me. I mean, that's the first one I remember. That was earlier than.
Nah, I think that DuckTales came out before that.
Okay.
I think it was.
It seems like an earlier show. For
it
some
is. It
to
is
me.
Early. Let me see what the dates are on these. Give me 1 second.
Here. Go ahead. And this is another. I watched this one a lot, and
So Chippendale's Rescue Rangers was 1989.
Okay.
DuckTales was 1987.
Okay.
The Gummy Bears was 1985.
Wow. Okay.
So Gummy Bears was first.
Seems like Rescue Rangers was around for longer.
It was. It was around for quite a while, though. I mean, and then Darkwing comes in. Let's see.
I didn't know this at the time about Rescue
1991.
Rangers. 1991. But the two main chipmunks are based on
Indiana Jones.
Indiana Jones and Magnum P.I.
Yep.
Who Tom Selleck was going to play Indiana Jones. So that's a neat combination there. And the gadgets and.
Very cool.
It was a really cool show. I don't know how it holds up. I haven't seen it in.
I've watched a few episodes here and there, and it does hold up.
Okay.
It's really a fun show to watch. Yeah. It's the same thing as DuckTales, where it's a nice, fun action adventure show with characters that are funny and there's funny situations. I really love the use of larger things
that are small to us. Yeah.
Like that plane that's made out of the bleach bottle or whatever it was. That was so cool to me as a kid. Yeah. And again, you're taking classic Disney characters, just like DuckTales, and putting them in a different situation than they were in their classic cartoons. That works really well.
Yeah.
Chip was so cool. Yeah. Dale was so cool. They're both. It was just a really fun show to watch. There was actually like some scary episodes and some nice mystery episodes. It was a well-rounded show.
Who's the guy who's obsessed with cheese?
Monterey Jack.
Monterey Jack. I used to love Monterey Jack.
Monterey Jack was cool. And Zipper was the little fly that hang around.
And
with
who was the lady? The mechanic?
I think it was Gadget.
Gadget.
I think it was her name was
I
Gadget.
That's right. The whole crew was fun.
Good one.
It was a fun one.
So what is? So that's my number three as well. Great theme song on that one too.
Yes.
It's maybe second only to DuckTales as far as the theme songs of the Disney afternoons go.
Absolutely. I agree.
What's your number two?
My number two is Tailspin. The adventure aspect.
So we switch out.
Yeah.
Because mine is Darkwing Duck.
Okay.
So we switch out our 2 and 4 spots here.
I figured Darkwing would be pretty high on your list.
Yeah.
I was almost sad to not be able to bump it up, but these other three I watched so much.
Exactly. You gotta go with what you watched.
And Tailspin seems like it holds up. I did watch some of that. And
yeah.
It's fun.
I feel like Darkwing did a great job of embracing the superhero hype because it was early 90s. Batman existed, the Rocketeer was out, the Turtles. It did a great job of embracing that, but still carrying forward the vibe of all the other Disney shows where it was still fun.
Yeah.
It was still, you know, comedic, but did the superhero thing. And I loved that it was, even though the creator of the show has now said it's not, I love that it shared a universe to me with DuckTales. Because you had Launchpad on the show. You had Gizmo Duck show up on the show.
What, he's saying it's not?
He says it's not. He says they're two separate universes. I'm sorry. They are the same universe.
Yeah, that's cool.
If you have Launchpad and Gizmo Duck on the show, it's the same universe. So, especially as much as I love DuckTales, to kind of feel like it was a continuation and another bit of DuckTales I could get out of DuckTales, showing another corner where there's a superhero and supervillains and all that stuff. Awesome. Really cool designs, too. I loved Darkwing's outfit. And I loved the villain outfits like Negaduck.
Negaduck
is so cool, man. Yeah. And I loved that there was, as much as I liked like Spider-Man and the Sinister Six when all the villains got together, when all the Darkwing's villains got together and went all up against him as one crew. That was awesome. Really, really fun show. Good theme song on that one, too.
Pretty good theme song.
Pretty good theme song on that one.
I remember the theme song more than I remember the show.
I don't know if I'm sure they've released DVDs of that. I may pick up some of those.
I would assume so.
I there's got to be a DVD.
Tailspin's out. Right? DuckTales is out. So I'm sure
DVD release. Yeah. Volume 1 and Volume 2, they came out years ago.
Sweet.
So I need to pick up some of those.
I'll watch some of that.
The 37 episodes have not been released. So the first volume is 27, the second volume is 27, and then there's no telling if they're going to release the final 37. Maybe if this Darkwing appearance in the new Disney XD cartoon takes off, then maybe they'll look at releasing the rest of the series. Man, it's so obvious what our number one is. I almost thought we should just do a top four list.
Yeah, and just...
Because you know DuckTales.
You know DuckTales.
You know it's DuckTales. Anybody that doesn't that says that DuckTales isn't their favorite Disney afternoon show is lying to you.
They're lying to you.
They're trying to sound cool because everybody's favorite is DuckTales. You cannot beat DuckTales.
It's got a lot going for it.
It's the best. Remember when we did that episode of top theme songs?
Yes.
Without even like seeing each other's lists or saying anything, we both just, we both just started singing the DuckTales theme song.
Had to be.
For the theme song alone, this should be your Disney afternoon favorite. But the rest of the show is so solid.
Yeah.
Every episode is fun. It's an adventure. It's got great characters. It's just awesome. Great voice acting. Everything about it's great. Great cast of villains.
Yes.
Supporting characters are funny and enjoyable. They even had a movie, and that movie I loved. The Treasure of the Lost Lamp. You ever seen that? Love that movie. Yeah. I played that VHS all the time. I still have the VHS at the house because it was one of my favorites to watch as a kid. So me loving that show so much as a kid and enjoying this show now should really show people that this new show does deserve a chance.
Yeah.
That if somebody that loved it so much as a kid can still love the new one too and not feel like they're being slighted by the old one. You should give it a shot, especially since that first one's free to watch online.
You can watch it for free.
Just watch it for free.
Come on.
Watch it for free, man.
Do you like cartoons?
Yeah. All right. Well, what are your favorite Disney afternoon cartoons after DuckTales? What's your number 2, 3, 4, and 5? You can post on Facebook.com/actionfeatures. I know you won't.
I know you won't do it.
I know you won't post. But you could.
Bill Tackett might post. You know.
Joe might post.
Joe might post.
Dustin might.
Gargoyles.
Gargoyles would be a number two.
That's another one that it's a really good, it's a solid show.
Yeah.
Did not feel like, I also didn't see that one as much. I saw the premiere and probably a few after that, but it just wasn't on at a time when I was getting home. I had a time period before dinner probably.
That's one that definitely borrowed from the vibe of Batman the Animated Series.
Oh, yeah. Batman came really out and they totally. Were like, oh, yeah, we're gonna make a Disney see what we can do. Like, but it's a cool concept.
It's really neat, and it's I like that it's, as much as I love the vibe of the Disney afternoon, like you said, that kind of distinguishes it, I do like that it was a dark Disney cartoon.
It was different. It wasn't like Disney properties. These other ones are like Donald Duck or, you know,
Goofy.
Those put in there, but...
We should mention the other ones that are on there that didn't make our list here, too. So, Bonkers, which I never cared for.
I don't even...
Let's see. Aladdin.
The series, that must have been early 90s.
Yeah. And I do remember seeing some of those.
Yeah.
I also kind of wouldn't group that in because it's not really based off classic Disney.
Yeah, it's different.
But I would group that in more than I would Gargoyles.
I used to love the movie. I used to watch the movie all the time, Aladdin.
I did watch a few episodes of this cartoon, and it had the same kind of, you know, it felt just like a continuation of the movie. It was fine. And I think that's it. The Lion King's Timon and Pumbaa, that's on here.
That seems like later.
Quack Pack. I don't remember that. And Mighty Ducks.
Nate brought this up to me. They're a team of space ducks that fly through space.
And they have hockey-type
gear, but they don't. I don't think but they don't play hockey. Yeah, they're just a space.
I'm not interested in that at all.
Don't be.
I'm going to pass on that one. But I think we covered the ones that are going to be in most people's top five.
Yeah.
I don't foresee Bonkers jumping in on anybody's
top. I can't even picture that. I don't even know what that is.
Okay. So yeah, but if Gargoyles were included, it would be my number two. Nothing beats DuckTales. All right. I think Charles really loved DuckTales, so there's a chance we'll chime in on this one as well.
Okay.
Okay. So is that it on this one?
That's it.
All right. So we're going to sign off on this one. Tune in next time where you'll find out mysteries of the universe.
Oh.
Maybe not, though.
Maybe.
Who knows?
Hey, let's try for it. We'll get a ball anyway. Thank you.